You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Latresa Smith was born into a family of ministers, so it makes sense that she would grow into a life of bluegrass gospel music. Interestingly, though, she started out as a drummer in high school. Now a full-time ESL teacher in Nashville, she still finds time to focus on her music. And in this edition of Americana Music Profiles, we talk with Latresa about her new CD, The Blood and the River. Hi, Latresa. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hi, Greg. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to get a chance to chat with you and learn about your music and how all this got started for you and all that kind of good stuff. Am I right that I'm chatting with you in Nashville?
Yes, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I certainly am.
Yeah, cool. Reading over the press notes, it sounds like you kind of got into this whole music thing pretty early when you were a younger child.
Yeah, my family, they were all musical. My dad wrote songs himself as a teenager and played in bands. My mother was a singer and at times sang on a little local radio show that was like a little, you know, kind of a I don't know, like a jamboree sort of grassroots little radio show. She grew up in Arkansas, and they just brought that, you know, they came together, brought that music together, and I don't know that we could have grown up in that household and not been musical, to be honest with you.
That's
but
cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have loved to sing since I was very small, and started writing songs pretty early on, too. I've always been interested in writing, and I guess I wrote my first song, I think I was around age 10, I remember, because my baby sister was born in that year, and wrote my first song, showed it to my mom, and she kept it for me, and
wow.
She still has that somewhere.
That's cool.
So, yeah, and I've kind of never looked back since then. It was, you know, writing and singing is kind of like breathing. I've heard people say, I play music because I can't play music, and I write because I can't not write.
Yeah.
So kind of sums me up.
That's cool. I was reading some of the notes that were sent over, and interestingly, it said that your first instrument was the drums. And drums and bluegrass, although it's changing some, typically doesn't mix.
True. The more traditional listeners of bluegrass don't usually include drums in their instrument list. I had an older brother who played drums in marching band, and I was his little tag-along.
Uh-huh.
We were always very close. I was a tomboy, and I was always tagging along. And if my brother did it, well, I had to try it, too.
Uh-huh.
And so he would bring home everything he was learning in band, and even though I was 3 years younger than him, he got me some drumsticks. I started playing, and by the time he went to college, even though I was still I think a sophomore probably in high school, I was playing all the music that he was playing, the snare drum parts in college bands, and I absolutely loved it. I was never really a lover of going to school. I was one of those kids that played sick every day, so my mother just had to drag me out, you know, to get to school. But getting into music, getting in the band, made it something that I didn't mind getting up and going to, and I looked forward to it.
Mm.
And then when I was in college, I started playing kit, and I was in bands and played some kit as well in some groups in college, and did, you know, of course, then eventually started up my own band. But by that time, I had switched over to guitar and I'm self-taught.
Okay.
Guitar. Uh-huh. I've never really had any training or lessons, but I did grow up with instruments in my house, and so I just thought, you know what, I really, as a writer, I need to be able to play guitar. So I taught myself, and never looked back. I do still have a drum kit.
Really?
In my den. So I haven't given that up, I have to say. But I play the guitar most all the time now.
Well, maybe you can be one of those new innovators that's bringing the drums into bluegrass music eventually then.
Now, that's an idea. That is definitely an idea. You know, on my very first album, there is percussion on a few of the songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those tunes were, I released that one in 03, late 03, and it was a little more progressive in style, and it did have some percussion parts, including like Egg Shaker, and we improvised on some other instruments as well, you know, percussion instruments, and so I thought it really added an interesting element.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not outside the realm of possibilities that I could go back.
There you go.
And add sprinkle a little more in on a future project.
Yeah.
But now the current project is pretty organic, and I'm delivering it that way for a reason. I wanted it to be something that reflected my roots growing up, because, uh-huh, yes, I had a musical family, but I also had a very traditional Christian upbringing. My father was a gospel preacher. My grandfather was a gospel preacher. All of my uncles were ministers. My I had great uncles. I have cousins. My brother. They all went into ministry, and so that was, you know, talked a lot. Bible was talked around our table.
Sure.
Prayer was said around our table, and at night before we all said goodnight, and when we were facing difficulties, I mean, that's where we turned, was to God. And sometimes I look back at that time, and I'm a big girl now, but I kind of miss the simplicity of you know, being able to just kind of let go of what's wearing me down, mm-hmm, my burdens. You know, and having that heart that can just release it to God and let go and say, you know what, I am not going to spend my days anxious and worrying. And so I wanted this to kind of reflect that simple time that I remember.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be simple enough that people could pop it in their car, drive along, listen to it on the way in the morning to work, on the way home, you know, on a trip, and or just whatever, and they could be encouraged by it, but they could just sing along.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's nothing real complicated on it. It's straightforward. It's very organic and pure in the message, and you know, and very traditional, I would say, for the most part. Now, mm-hmm, I had to stray a little bit on a couple of the tunes, but you know, I got to be true to myself.
Yeah,
and who I am now.
Sure. So are these songs that you wrote, or songs that you brought in from other writers?
I write all my own material,
mm-hmm,
at least up to this point I have. This is my third CD, and I've written all the songs on all three of the releases, and this one as well. They're all mine. There is one co-write, which is my first. I've co-written, don't get me wrong, and I've co-written lots with lots of great writers. When I first came to Nashville, Tennessee, the very first co-writer that I worked with for a significant amount of time was John Imms, who is most known for Trisha Yearwood's She's in Love with
Boys. Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he also wrote a hit for Reva that was re-released on her greatest hits called Falling Out of Love. And he's had some others, but I think he's most known for those. We became friends early on, and actually I walked up and said, hey, I'd love to write with you. And he said, well, okay, that's pretty gutsy. So, all right, what have you got that I can hear? And I let him hear some demos. He said, absolutely, I'll write with you. So
awesome.
That kind
of
started a good relationship there of co-writing. And I've, you know, co-written with some publishing companies and things, signed some single song deals and whatever. Eventually formed my own publishing company, and now, you know, on my own project, I feel better, you know, if I have something that they don't all make my cut for the CDs, but all of these fortunately made the cut and fit with my overall theme of just lifting up Jesus and finding our solace there. And so there is one co-write, though, on this one, which is the first one on any of my CDs, but it happens to be with the mandolin player in my band, Kyle
okay.
Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And he's known in bluegrass circles as being formerly from Crucial Smith. And so we, when we go to Winfield or places like that, everyone's always, he has a lot of fans that are
yeah,
fans
yeah,
for Kyle cool. Wood, you know,
yeah.
and the old Crucial Smith days. So, but he's a longtime friend of mine, and he brought this song idea, and it's called Sea of Galilee, based on the disciples in the boat, and the storm comes up, and Jesus calms the storm, and then, you know, he basically just says, you know, why are you still afraid, you know, why are you still experiencing this fear, because I got you.
Yeah.
And it's all about faith. And so I said, that's great, let's write it. So we did, and
cool.
I'm really happy with how it turned out.
You brought in some pretty notable guest musicians on this as well, right?
We did. We were very, very blessed to bring a legend in, Roland White.
Wow, cool.
And I love to catch his show. He plays at least once a month or once every couple of months. He's at Station Inn. And so I thought, man, if I could get him to just come and play on one too,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what? You know, what an honor it would be to have him a part of the project. And he was so gracious, and he heard the song, and he said, oh, I would love to play on that. And turns out that he is playing mandolin on one of the most special songs on the CD, because it's written in memory of a great family friend. And there, his whole family attends where my father preached many, many years ago in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away a little over a year ago, and when I got the news that they had diagnosed him with terminal cancer, I wrote the song about him.
Mm-hmm.
So his name is Russell Dawkins, and I wrote the song Where Angels Abide, Russell's song, otherwise known as.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Roland's playing on that, and I tell you what, you know, right away, his style is so distinctive, and he was perfect for that song, and it was, you know, it fit like a glove, and we played on that. We brought in Rob Ikes on dobro, and again, unmistakable when you hear,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Rob dobro, you know it's him. Pat Flynn, a longtime friend of mine, came in and played guitar the song that we pre-released for Christmas at the end of 2018, and also singing on that with me. That's a duet, and Billy Droz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and he's got a wonderful project of his own out right now, and he's really happy to get Billy in, and was happy with the result that we got singing together. We have Charlie Cushman on banjo. We have Dale Ann Bradley on the acapella tune that is on the CD. Dale Ann is singing on that, as well as Steve Gully. I mean, incredible singers.
Yeah.
And we have Christian Davis is singing the bass part on that song. The title is Now I Am Redeemed.
Hmm.
And that turned out to be a lot of people's favorites.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, I grew up singing a cappella in church and played in a band when I was in high school that was really my brother, my cousin, myself, and Tim May, who was my longtime neighbor in Mississippi, and now everybody knows him around Nashville. He's one of the most notable guitarists.
Uh-huh.
But he was just my next-door neighbor who played guitar and banjo and sang and wrote songs. So we had a very little organic group that we called Southern Sound, and we had two shows that we did We had our regular show, which included originals and well as some covers, but we also had an a cappella show.
Oh, cool.
That we did.
Okay.
And I love singing a cappella. So I wanted to put at least one on the CD. I didn't know how it would be received, but a lot of people picked that out as their favorite. So I'm really happy about that. Let's see, who else did we bring in on the CD? Ronnie McCrory. Mr. Ronnie McCrory.
Yeah, Travis McCrory's, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played on the title cut, The Blood in the River.
Okay.
Tim O'Brien came in, played some fiddle on a tune, and then he also played mandolin on a tune, and he actually sang some harmonies with me on one of the tunes as well. And, I mean, you know, it was a blessing to get these people.
Yeah,
it really
for sure.
was
yeah.
to be a part of this. And you know, they were just so happy to come in, and we had the best time. We really did.
So this is, we're talking about the CD, The Blood in the River, and it's been out for you for a little while, is that right?
It has been out, we released it mid-June, so not too long.
Okay,
but
so it's fairly new then, yeah, okay.
Yeah, still new.
What does it look like for you to take this out now on the road? What's the travel schedule look like for you? You've got other things that you do, right? Is this not a full-time thing?
Used to be full-time, and then I was called to teach for a while, and so I didn't want to really step out of that, but I wanted to keep playing music, so I am still teaching. I'm an English as a second or other language teacher.
Okay.
And I work with immigrant populations, a lot of refugees. Love my kids. And, I mean, they make it all worthwhile. And I've learned a lot of lessons working with these kids.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That goes into my music
as
well.
Yeah.
I think it keeps my heart soft.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I haven't given that up. I am still teaching, but we are putting together a tour to take this out. Right now, we're still in kind of the early phases. I mean, things move kind of slow when you release something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to get the word out there and get the reviews and interviews like this, which I really appreciate. And you have to, you know, get it heard, and then I think we'll have our full schedule put together. But right now, I'm following through with a goal that I set when I decided to release an all-gospel CD. There were two gospel songs on my last CD. The title of that one was Love, Babies, Jesus, and Sweet Potato Pie. And so I had two gospel tunes on there. One I wrote for my father, who passed away in 2003, and I dedicated the release of that CD to him, and it's called Work for Jesus. Well, the two gospel tunes on that got a lot of play, and I had a lot of requests to, hey, send us more gospel. Do you have any more gospel? So that's kind of what prompted me to start thinking about this project. And then I thought, if I do this, I don't want to have the traditional CD release party where everybody comes, looks at me, and, you know, I didn't want it to be that. The word gospel means really good news. I wanted any event that I had to kind of get the CD out there to be good news and to accomplish something good and practical in people's lives. So we're having our first event, and we're going to have a series of these. We're having our first event tomorrow night. It's in Old Hickory, Tennessee, and it's open to the public. I mean, it's been in the Chronicle of Mount Juliet, which is right up the road from that neighborhood, and we put flyers up, invited friends, family. In all the proceeds, $10 at the door, everyone gets a download card to download the album for free. And then that $10 donation at the door, though, all goes to benefit their community pantry.
Oh, cool.
That community pantry feeds a minimum of 45 families, different families, every week.
Hmm.
So over the course of a month, you're affecting a lot of people's lives.
For sure,
and
yeah.
doing something good.
Yeah.
This will be the first of a series of these that we're focusing on doing. And we wanted to start right up the road from us.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. So the band and I are going to be playing the tune. Folks will be just coming in, and all that is going to go to benefit that. And it's run by a great friend of my husband's and mine. His name is Charlie Hood. And just a great spirit.
Yeah.
And that man.
That's cool.
And my husband's known him for a long time. He said, hey, I bet this would help Charlie's, you know, pantry out. I said, absolutely. So it's going to be a Grace and Truth Church. They have a little storefront there. And so we decided to do it there because that's where the
mm-hmm.
pantry,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
meets out of and serves folks. But my husband is actually in the band. The Signal.
Okay.
Band.
Yeah.
He plays upright bass, so he has a jazz background.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I converted him over.
So I'm guessing as a writer, you're looking forward, kind of ahead to the next project. Do you have something else in mind following this?
Well, yeah. Okay, I'll share a sneak peek. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm almost kind of embarrassed to say that, I mean, this is barely out there, but yeah, I am thinking, I think the next thing that we do together, and my husband is definitely a big part of the brainchild behind this, because he played for years and years on Beale Street in Memphis, and we both love blues.
Oh,
and,
cool.
I have family in the Memphis area, and I've played a little bit there, too.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up surrounded by the Delta brand of blues.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of that influence in my writing. And so we were looking through other songs that I write, because I write more than just bluegrass.
Uh-huh.
And, he said, you know, you have enough songs here, great songs, that we should record them and
yeah.
see what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it will still have elements of that Kentucky style bluegrass, because I lived in Kentucky for a lot of years
right.
before I moved to Nashville. And I love that, but I really think it might have a little more of that acoustic blues.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Good.
So,
yeah,
but can that be our secret? Oh, wait.
Well, the cat's out of the bag. You know, but
yeah,
active musicians have to be looking ahead, you know, and especially the way the music changes so quickly. If you're not planning ahead for the next one, it takes too long to get the next one out. So, you know, it's always good to be looking ahead like that. So, yeah. No, that's exciting.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we'll tuck that one away and look forward to that when this one gets done running its course. And but I've listened to a lot of the tracks on it, and it's great, and wish you the best with it for sure. And I think you've got the right spirit behind it, and in the world today we need more of that. There's more people are just struggling. A lot of people are struggling, and they need to hear some good news and to be encouraged. So we certainly wish you the best with it.
Thank you so much. I couldn't have summed up my hope for the project any better than you just did. I wanted to give people hope and comfort. And I included on the inside of the cover a verse, which is Isaiah 55:11. Basically, God says there that when I put my word out there, my voice, it will not return to me void. In
mm-hmm.
other words, it's going to accomplish good wherever
mm-hmm.
my word and my voice goes. And
yeah,
so
for sure.
I put that there because I have faith
mm-hmm.
that this is going to be something good, and it won't return empty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's going to add, hopefully, fullness or something to everyone that it touches. So at least that's my hope and prayer.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
I thank you so much for talking to me and
you're welcome.
Helping
Thank
to
you.
Spread the word.
Yeah. We certainly wish you the best. Real quick, before we wrap up the podcast, tell folks where they can find the CD, reach out to you if they want to know more about what you're up to.
Absolutely. You can email me from my website, which is latresa.com. It's LATRESA.com, and you can email me directly there. And the CD can be purchased there. It's also available, well, anywhere where you stream or download music. I mean, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, available on Amazon. Anywhere. You can buy it on CD Baby. I keep copies there because I find that they are a great resource for independent, artists who are trying to do it on their own. And, I mean, I released this on Boondog Records, which is a brand-new independent label. And so I really appreciate organizations like that that help and support independent music. And any of those places you can get it. My publishing company is Two Coat Music. And the band is Latresa and the Signal. And there's an interesting story, if anybody wants to know, email me about that if you're just curious where the signal came from.
Okay.
If you follow us on, we're all over any of the main social media. I mean, the band has a Facebook page. We have Twitter, Reach Latresa, and then we have at Latresa Signal. So if you connect with us there, watch for our events that are coming up. And if you're in anywhere in the area where we're doing any of those events, come out, have some fun with us, listen to the music, and support a good cause that makes a difference in people's lives.
Good. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Jabbers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.